Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance. Cubs win.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is being brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I'm Mark Grody filling in for Lawrence Holmes, and we have some breaking news regarding Kyle Hendricks and the Chicago Cubs. It is good news. Chris Emma reporting that Kyle Hendricks will be the Cubs' opening day starter.
He's like, oh, that don't matter to me. I'm excited and can't wait to go. So, you know him. He's nonchalant, no big deal. It may have been a bigger deal to me to tell him than it was for him to hear the news.
Yeah, it means a ton to me, obviously. I've thanked him over and over, you know, but it's on me now to, you know, come through for that.
I think this is a terrific move by the Cubs. I think that Kyle Hendricks is the best pitcher on the starting staff. And I also think that Kyle Hendricks may be hitting his prime right now, 29 years old, entering his seventh season. Last year, 177 innings, 150 strikeouts, 32 walks.
Now Kyle Hendricks, the Cubs right-hander, delivers 3-2, and Votto takes strike three call. Now the windup and the 2-2 to Yelich. Swing and a miss. Came right back with it. You don't fool Yelich very often. Back-to-back strikeouts for Hendricks. 3-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. Hendricks has set down 11 in a row.
Yeah, he'll strike your ass out. People always forget about that.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
You're darn right he will, and check me out, Hall. He will be on. Kyle Hendricks will actually be on this very radio station at 2:20 today on the McNeil and Parkin Show. I do believe Matt Spiegel sitting in once again, so that will be must-listen radio, as it always is right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. But the Cubs ace, Kyle Hendricks, will be on the radio station in about 2.5 hours from now. Right now, it is the liquid lunch hour. That's right, hot cup of coffee on one side. Just describing my place. Delicious pear-flavored sparkling water on the other side. Yeah, I go with the hot and the cold. That's how I do it these days, and it works for me. So whatever you're drinking, cheers to you. And what's going on? I'm Mark Grody, in for Lawrence Holmes once again today, and broadcasting live from the 35th floor of my Streeterville flat. That's right. I've decided that I now live in a flat. I am very British that way. We have what I would like to think, well, I know it is another packed and powerful show, which will include Cubs talk with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. We'll get his thoughts, not just on Kyle Hendricks, but on the rest of the starting rotation and how it will stack up beyond those first two, and those first two, of course, being Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish. J.J. Stankovic of NBC Sports Chicago will be on to talk about the Chicago Bears and the National Football League, and training camp is supposedly close, but we'll find out more from J.J. and what he thinks, what he predicts, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the Bears as well. We are going to talk about the big story in the Washington Post that came out, I think, yesterday about the alleged sexual harassment scandal from within the Washington Football Organization. So we will hear from people on that. I will give you my thoughts on it. That's coming up in just a little bit. And I have done it. I have completed my baseball picks for 2020. I'm not just talking about picking the division winners, because I already unloaded that on you on a previous show. I'll have everything for you. So if you didn't hear my division winners, my wild card winners, I will recap that, but then I will give you the actual wild card matchups, the who wins the division series, the ALCS, NLCS, and I will have the World Series winner for you and in how many games. So that's going to be coming up in hour two, my baseball picks. You don't want to miss that. You could take it right to the window or whatever it is that you do. We can react with each other if you would like, as in you can call or text. It's the same number. We are bundled here at the Score, 312-644-6767. The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I am on Twitter, at Mark Grote Sports. G-R-O-T-E is the way we spell it. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. I like to hang out there as well. Sean Anderson is our executive producer today. I did reveal yesterday that I am not picking the White Sox to be a playoff team this year. Next year, look out. And I love their core. I love the young players. I'm like you in that regard. I just don't think it's going to happen yet. Not this year, not in this 60-game season for the White Sox. Some Sox fans did not like me for that yesterday, as I learned on the text lines and some people on Twitter as I was combing through that last night. And I think one of the specific tweets was, why would you like the Cubs rotation better than the Sox rotation? I actually have very similar feelings about both rotations in that I think that they both have a really sturdy top two in their starting rotations, and I have no idea beyond that. Giolito, Keuchel, yes. Beyond that, I don't know. Darvish and Hendricks, yes. Beyond that, I don't know. So it's exactly similar for both sides of town at this point. The reason I don't have the Sox in the postseason is because beyond those first two guys, I have no idea. However, if we see more of the Dylan Cease that I watched every second of last night, I could end up being proved wrong. And yes, disclaimers. Do we have to do all the disclaimers here? Yes, I know it's preseason. I know it was intra-squad games, so that is heavily disclaimed baseball that was going on. But man, Cease, like, stuff is stuff, and he was bringing the noise when it comes to that. He struck out Andrew Vaughn swinging in the first, but it was in that second inning where he threw, Dylan Cease, some filthy pitches to everybody's favorite, Yermín Mercedes. Back-to-back pitches, knee bucklers, where the baseball looks like it's coming at him. He backs out, and the ball goes outside. Great off-speed stuff last night. The reactions to the players, that is how you know the stuff is good. And when you watch it, you're like, oh, wow. And yes, you forget the circumstances because you're just seeing terrific stuff happening. Third inning, got James McCann swinging. Struck out Andrew Vaughn on a curveball in that same inning. Fourth inning, Cease strikes out the side. So that's the other part, getting stronger as he went along. Didn't get tangled up like he did a lot of times last year. And the other heartening part about the performance last night for Dylan Cease was that he was working with Yasmani Grandal. And Yasmani Grandal is as good as James McCann is, as some people think he's 1A or 1B. He's not. Yasmani Grandal is the starting catcher and will get the bulk of the starts behind the plate. So we know Grandal is going to hit the baseball. It is now just a matter of working with the pitchers, and it would appear from what we saw last night that the blueprint is pretty good. The rapport is there between those two guys, Yasmani Grandal and Dylan Cease. So that should be something that you liked watching if you are a White Sox fan, because you know Cease was perfectly inconsistent last year. 14 starts, an ERA near 6, 5.79, 73 innings, 81 strikeouts, 35 walks. Dylan Cease did have an 11 strikeout game against Cleveland last year in September. And yeah, that's one of the areas I always look at with starters is late in games, late in seasons. And he did do that in September against a good Cleveland team. So that I thought would portend well for the beginning of this season. So if Cease does that, if he's able to bring that stuff, that control to the real games this year, when the Sox open up week from today, man. Yeah, week from today against the Minnesota Twins, not going to be Cease obviously pitching, but he may be the third guy in the rotation. We'll see. If he's able to do that and control the good stuff like he did last night, then you got something there. And that's where maybe some of the mysteries are solved and maybe the Sox sneak in. But no, I am sticking to it, not picking them for the playoffs this year. Rough night for Carlos Rodon. Edwin Encarnacion hit him up twice for homers, which was good because Edwin Encarnacion hit two home runs, legits. Tim Henderson went deep against him as well. And here's Rodon talking about his performance.
I thought slider was sharp. Fastball was decent, close to almost all the way. I think I was like 90 to 95, so it was pretty good. Couple missed pitches here and there. Timmy got a changeup after he laid off the good one, so it was good at bat there. And then Edwin hit the pitch I made up and away, tipped my cap on, and then the next fastball I threw to him, that second at bat, was just a pitch I missed middle. So things that, you know, we can get better at, and good thing these don't count, so.
Yeah, and that's Carlos Rodon. It's going to be really interesting to see how Ricky Renteria uses him this year. I don't know. Is he going to be in the starting rotation? And I know that with Kopech out, it makes it probable, I would think. But they had also talked about using him out of the bullpen, a guy who can come in and give you 2-3 innings in that regard. And we know anything goes in a 60-game season. And look, when he's on, he's really good. He just hasn't stayed healthy, and that's exactly the problem. I'm not too concerned about what happened last night, despite being hit hard by a good hitting White Sox team, but it is 100% about health for Carlos Rodon. Can he do it? Because he just hasn't for his career, has not stayed healthy. Before we talk a little bit more about pitching, a little detour to the White Sox offense, and watching Nick Madrigal, I have come to the conclusion, I am putting him in a brand new category. It is category pain in the ass player. And I mean that in the best of way that one can be a pain in the ass. That is what Nick Madrigal is going to be for opposing teams' pitchers and position players. Almost always going to make contact. Last night, facing Cease with Andrew Romine running, he reached out and poked the ball right through the hole at second base. Yes, he's a guy who can execute in any way, shape, or form. Dare I say old school? I guess he is, because he's tiny, and he's a contact guy, and he's a defense guy. He is not a home run guy. He also, while he was there, just to be a bigger pain in the ass, he tagged up from first to second on a Zach Collins flyout. So I am now looking forward to hopefully seeing some Nick Madrigal play in games this year. It seemed doubtful for a while that he would play, but I hope he has more of a pronounced year this year where he's allowed to show some of those types of things. You know, and then we've seen
some good defense. A couple days ago in the other intra-squad game, Madrigal threw out Mercedes at the plate on a grounder to second, threw a perfect strike to Grandel, like right in the base path, wasn't playing in, it was like middle of the dirt, so it was a perfectly thrown baseball. Pain in the ass player, Nick Madrigal, and again, I mean that only in the best of possible ways. All right, and then back to the starting staff, Reynaldo Lopez. He was greeted last night with a Yasmani Grandal two-run homer, which was good. But yeah, Lopez struggled a little bit. He did. The good thing about that is that he got the next three outs right after the Grandal home run. That's important because he had a tendency to come undone at times last year. He was actually, Nicky Delmonico was the first batter to face him, and he doubled off of him. He settled in a little bit. They let him coast for a while. They actually extended the game last night. That was supposed to be eight innings, ended up being nine innings. So we'll see. It's important that Reynaldo Lopez gets back to being 2018 Reynaldo Lopez and not the 2019 version. Yoan Moncada is back. He did not play last night. It's not clear at this point if he is going to be active or playing in that first game a week from tonight against the Minnesota Twins, but you certainly do hope so. Luis Robert last night, relatively quiet. He made a nice catch out in center field at one point in time, had to go down and scoop it. Interesting things to consider, too, for the White Sox. People keep kicking this around, and nobody has had a really good answer, and that is, what in the heck is the Sox lineup? There are many potential manifestations. You know, they, like so many lineups in baseball these days, don't necessarily have a traditional leadoff guy, and they are stocked with much power. Do you want to protect somebody like Luis Robert? Put him down further in the lineup, or you just want to say that he's as good as everybody else says, get him, get his at-bats right there in the top three. He's got speed. He could do it all. To me, that's the biggest question is, are you playing protection like they did with Aloy? I think they batted Aloy Jimenez like sixth to start the year last year. That is a consideration. Is Tim Anderson a top of the lineup guy? Is Abreu your number four hitter? It's all very Moncada. I mean, that very tricky questions as to, and I would say good questions as far as Ricky Renteria putting the lineup together, but that is what he's got to be able to do. Also, old Jimmy Lambert got into the game. He's actually very young. He did allow an RBI hit to Andrew Romine. And I have to say, too, before we take a break, very entertaining broadcast. It's difficult to do these games from that perspective because there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of non-traditional rules being used. Like you could, there a couple times last night there were five outs, but Jason Benetti and our Chuck Garfine did a really good job, very informative, very entertaining, and there was a part of me that felt for them because that's nine innings of intra-squad baseball, but they did it extremely well. So it was good stuff in an anything-goes game last night, intra-squad game. And Don Cooper, very present last night. Don was showing his face. I think Don has been given control of intra-squad baseball for the Chicago White Sox. So there you go. More baseball coming up later on in terms of my actual picks. Cubs baseball will be talked about next as we will bring in Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Brody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports for nearly three decades. We were there when Jordan and the 90s Bulls were making history.
I want to talk to you this morning about the Bulls winning the championship last night.
When Hester took it all the way in Super Bowl 41.
Hester 5!
When the 05 Sox swept the World Series in four.
Let's go inside the White Sox clubhouse right now.
I never thought I would see a baseball championship in Chicago.
Three Blackhawks Stanley Cup championships.
That's hockey, baby!
And when the Cubs broke the curse in 2016.
And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. The NFL had more time than any other pro league to address coronavirus, yet all of a sudden it feels like they've addressed nothing. The NBA was on the court, the NHL was skating towards the postseason, and MLB was a few weeks away from opening day when sports stopped. The NFL hadn't even hit free agency yet. As unpredictable as the virus is, football had months to plan for its season. But here we are with rookies reporting to training camp on Monday, and it feels like the league and union have agreed on nothing. Not testing protocols, not other safety measures, not how they'll account for the financial impact of the pandemic. None of those things are easy to figure out, and some couldn't have been decided on weeks ago. But the two sides should be closer to agreements.